live in our day in an age where there is first deputations and debates about the true and only gospel of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Satan knows his time is short, and in that short time, the powers of hell are manifested against the church that Christ died and redeemed. And we have attacks upon the deity and the person of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have attacks upon the church, who are in the church. Is the church a church of sectarianism, or a church of sacred men and women separated by personal experience of the birth, the second birth, the new birth, which makes them part of the true church of Jesus Christ? There are all sorts of falsehood preached under the banner, the stolen banner of Christ. And the larger denominations today are taken over with not the gospel of Christ, but the gospel of themselves. I want to take a very necessary look at the early church, because in the early part of the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, we have a mirror which reflects the sort of church and the sort of religion that are manifested today. The preaching of the gospel, the establishment of the church, the man who made it up, and the man who built it with the help of the Holy Spirit and of God are all important factors. But as we look at them, we see that they are mirrors. They are mirrors of the evening of the church. And the church is coming to its end. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to take his church home to be with him forevermore. And the same characteristics of the first churches and the first establishment of God's power in the world that had fallen is repeated now as we come to the end of the age. So we have that strange parallelism at the beginning. We have the Adams. We have the men like the man who revealed the depths of his depravity, Cain. And then over against that, we have the man who showed forth the power of the gospel, Abel. And so this age of ours has its Cains and its Abels. And we have a picture of today's professed church. And that church is a reflection, a very real reflection, of what happened in the early churches when they came into existence. Of course, the Old Testament dealt with a matter that had a very Jewish emphasis upon it. And we are told that as we come to the end of the age, there will be a resurrection of that great truth. And that will be seen in the final regiments of those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we have an entire history of the church. I want to look at that with you, for it's very, very important. You see, we live in an age when this world lacks the gospel. Oh, you say, but Mr. Paisley, the gospel is preached. Yes, to a measure, it is preached. But those who preach the gospel, as it is revealed in the Holy Scriptures, are a very tiny number compared to those who claim to be preachers of the gospel. But their gospel is a man-thought-out philosophy, and it is governed by Satan and his angels. And they are the archbishops, we may say, of the church that has departed from God's truth and has taken up the lie of the devil. But the campaign of hell to destroy the souls of men and to debase the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and the denial of his mighty resurrection from the dead, these all are presented by the modern church. And we are told that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and people will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. And that is the atmosphere that we're living in today. The failure to preach the true gospel and the everlasting grace of that gospel is the great sin of today. We could say that this present task needs something. What does it need? It needs to listen to the warning, beware. We need to mark that warning, because the church is widely taken over by false gospels and false gospelers. The counterfeits must be labeled, and those that are unchristian, in spite of their abuse of the word Christian, are walking in the ways of death and hell, and not in the ways of truth and righteousness. So we have today a useless church which claims to be the church of Jesus Christ. But we have only to read the histories that are written. We have only to look at the announcements that come from these churches, and they prove conclusively by their own mouths they indict themselves. And we have today leaders of these great ecclesiastical people, and these put out a message that is not the message of the gospel, which is the good news of the death of Christ and his resurrection, but is actually a reflection of atheism partly, of Mohammedanism, and of other isms which cannot claim a place, a chapter in the Church of Christ. These counterfeits all have to be labeled. And when we label them and study them, the majority of them have to be spurred because they are not gospel churches. And we are reminded about what the Lord Jesus Christ said, that we were to open our eyes and to look and see where the churches are. And those that stand for the book, we must stand with them. Those who reject the book, we must reject them. Counterfeits must be destroyed. The coming in of the tides must be guarded. A bloodless gospel is a counterfeit gospel. We must defend the true gospel, for only the true gospel shall set us free. And we are told that this is based on truth. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Satan is a master deceiver, and he has destroyed faith in the truth, and in the place of truth, he has resurrected the Antichrist, the evil representation of what should not be there in regard to the gospel of Christ. It has to be identified and rejected. Counterfeits are hell's handiwork. They have to be rejected. Messages from the devil's ambassadors should be warned against and stirred up against the false churches and the churches that we can identify as churches that are not churches at all, but assemblies of the devil himself. Everlasting fire and brimstone from heaven will one day pour the eternal burnings of judgment upon these churches who are trying to sell the devil's gospel to the multitude of people in the world today. Preachers who are the devil's ambassadors should be shunned. If they preach another gospel, they immediately label themselves as false preachers and false teachers and propagandists for hell and not for heaven. They should be shunned eternally. And we should wash our hands of any relationship with them. The old Bible needs to be reopened. How sad it is that those that call themselves Christian churches don't know the contents of the Bible, which is the great foundation stone of God's Word. Christ is the rock, and the Bible is the rock. The old Bible needs to be reopened, and all its exhortations should be daily read and daily obeyed. Christ has told us that if we partake of the Bible, something will happen. We shall live. There's no life without the Bible. The Bible is the center of life. It is the great center of life. So the Bible should be daily opened and pondered. You hand a man a Bible today, he wouldn't know to turn up Revelation. If you said, I'm going to read from Revelation, he would look in the Psalms probably for it, because he's blinded by the devil, who will do anything to stop the Word of God. And in passing, could I say that the fight against the Bible is being continued today as it began and was used in pre-Reformation times. The same arguments and the same cursing comes from the lips of sinners about the precious Word of God and about the revelation of the precious blood of the Lamb. You go on your way with the sun shining on your life and your home. That's what you tell us. But the sun doesn't shine on a sinner's home. A judgment is directed against all sinners. It is the repenting sinner can have a home, but not the sinner that dwells in the sickness of ungodliness. The fearless heralds of the Bible are the life bearers of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are known because they stick up for the old book. They will attack those who degrade the Bible, those who attack the Bible, those who fight the Bible, and those who disobey the Bible. Upon them hangs the curse of the eternal God of truth. It is the truth. It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You can only make Christ the Lord of all who are yielding daily to his word, to his command, and have rested their faith in trusting him. And they obey him, and there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but first to read, and then believe, and then to trust, and then to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Death and hell can only be escaped by hiding in Christ. Hiding in Christ. Hiding in Christ. Thou blessed Rock of Ages, I'm hiding in thee. Resist the devil that puts him into reverse and opens the way for escape for the sinner. Hide in Christ for everlasting salvation. Hide in Christ for the joy and peace of sins forgiven. The bell which has rung, running through all ages, is still in full operation. Make sure you are armed to win the day because you've heeded the purpose of God. And you can meet to that day by the Bible, with the Bible in your hand. Oh, I want to refer to some very wonderful things in the Word of God. And I'm starting off with the first chapter and the second chapter and the third chapter of the Bible itself. Those are three wonderful chapters. You see, one day, a morning dawned over God's creation. That beginning of the new day was possible because God had created the sun. And the sun was God's watcher over the whole world. And it was God's will and wish that the first man and the first woman would enjoy the frequency and the warmth and the glory and the life of that day and succeeding days. This was the day, the first day, God waited because on this day, Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, had not yet been created. Other things came, but the first thing that was important was the day. This day, God made his very own. And it's still referred to, first day of the week, as God's day. It was his day. Not man's day. Man knew nothing about it. God did not go to man and say to him, I want to talk to you about the day is going to come. No. He took Adam out when the day had come and he pointed it out. It was already there. Man had no part in the making of the day. And could I say humbly that fallen man has no part in the day. It's only the believers It's only obedient believers that can change matters in the world so that the day, the first day of the week, can come back to its original power. And one day, the day will come back, because Christ himself will be the sun. Christ himself will be the moon. Christ himself, with his believing people, will be all the stars. So we have a great future, a future of the melody of the creation. In the 3 days, the first for the creation of the wonderful earth, and the next for the continuation of the days, and the third day for the occupation by God's creation of the days, by Adam and Eve, and by the animals that pleased the sovereign Lord to make. I want to say that when I open the Bible, I find a very strange customer. And this strange customer is a man called Adonai Bezek. Strange name. But he was a strange person. And the interesting thing about him was that he conquered the whole geographical picture of the world. And he made a tremendous influence of that world. Of course, he was a dirty old man. He was a murderer. Victory had been his by falsehood. And all the many days and tables that he had made no change in his nature. The day was a death day. For every one of his days was marked by death. And those whom he conquered in other places did not and were not recognized by the other places. They were only recognized by the fact they were prisoners and slaves of this man. The day of darkness and damnation had arrived for the Old Testament Hitler, and we could call him nothing else but that. And it is a very, very interesting, and we must remember it, that this man was picked out from all the other men. And what was he picked out for? He was picked out because this man was a persecutor of God's people. He had 70 princes in his palace, and he had cut the thumbs of each one of them. So they had no right-hand thumb or left-hand thumb. They were poor, miserable, destroyed slaves. And they lived as slaves and died as slaves. and sitting among them, there was this man. But the day came when God sent those that he had chosen to fight with him. And that was the only time that the Bible records he was defeated. And he ran for cover. But those that were fighting him took him, chained him, imprisoned him, persecuted him. But they did something more. They cut off both his thumbs, which identified him with the rest who had been de-thumbed, if I might use the statement, by this wicked. What a day, what a groaning. And this man, who was such an evil man, and was such a persecutor of God's people, he acknowledged that God had done it at him. And here's his text, Judges 1, verse 7. As I have done, so God hath requited me. He himself, in his final hours, with no thumb, was identified with the other thumbless men that were a witness to his own persecution and death. And so this monster was dealt with by the power of God. Removed, dethumbed, and cut down by those that he had cut down. And God caused righteousness to reign and devilry to be done. And this old man, without his thumbs, had to witness that it was the Lord's doing and was marvelous in our eyes. Judges chapter 1 and verse 7. As I have done, so God hath requited me. That was the only record of anything this man ever said, but it's in the book. What a day that was when God took vengeance on evil people. When I look into the life of that man in one of the great books of the Bible, I see how wicked, how murderous, how filthy he was. And then I note the judgment that came upon him. And he who ruled himself was ruled. And he who killed himself was killed. And he who was persecuted and persecuted others, he was persecuted himself. What a testimony this man and his filth and his dirt and his blasphemy of Almighty God. But he has been caught up on. And there he stands, a poor, chained sinner, waiting for death, waiting for a death that never dies, waiting for imprisonment that would never end, waiting for the hell that he deserved. Eternity, eternity. Where will you be? that man answers the question himself. As I have done, so God hath requited me. There'll be a leveling up someday when the great judge of all the earth takes the great white throne seat, and all men of all faiths will meet their God. Those without the blood mark of the Savior will go to hell. Those marked by the blood of the Lamb will go to the enjoyments of heaven forevermore. Where will you stand? On the side of the guilty or on the side of the faithful? Eternity, eternity, where, oh where will you spend eternity? Amen and amen.